The new backdrop kind of fire.
What it is? What's up?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 103 of Speak On It. For those watching live or on the or rewatching, D was just talking about his dope place. As you can see, finally some decorations on the wall in the new house. Malika Andrews is talking to Bam. I wonder what kind of lies Bam telling in front of Malika. I don't know if they're as big as the lies athletes say in front of Taylor Rooks, but I'm assuming it's a lie.
Are you kidding me? Who do you think who do you think was that was the reporter that heard I'm good on the West? That was Malika Andrews.
That's true. So Malika and Taylor get grade A lies from athletes. Yeah. So yeah, that's true.
You know why? Fellas, and we got to be honest with it. Fellas, and I want to talk to the fellas. We have to stop lying to the baddies when we're around the baddies. Because look, you know that one homeboy that when the baddies come around, he just get the unequivocally lying. Like, yo, dog, like, what? Hey, yo, dog, hey, yo, appreciate you for letting me, you know what I'm saying, fuck around, drive your Lambo, because I was just going up to the one show because I met Ludacris afterwards. He's like, yo, hey, yo, dog, what? Like, hey, yo, what? Nah, come on, because come on, you know man's that just get in front of the fine women and just get the lying. So he can look good. He can get a few giggles. Like, brother, you is not all that. Hey, you got to, you be looking at him like, bruh, I've never seen you act like this before. Like, dead ass.
So, since we're in the trust tree, I was the liar.
What was you lying about?
Little stuff. Like, little, like nothing. Like, oh, yeah, I just got the Lambo. But little stuff, just trying to, you know, you back in the day. You know, my hair was thinning. I was a little chunky, so I had to make up with it with a sense of humor.
You see what hair do to us black men?
I'm telling you, dog, ain't nothing more dangerous than a black man with a fresh cut. Black men walking out the barbershop, the most dangerous person on the planet.
Hey, you see me, fresh fade. I'm here.
Dog, CIA looking for us.
Hold on, wait a minute. You got a fresh fade too?
No, I'm just saying, like, shut up, man.
That's what I was going to say. Now, tell me how long your barber apartment was.
I still go to the barber for my beard every other week, so that's like 20 minutes.
20 minutes and got to be $20.
Yeah, it's $20.
Yeah, I figured. Hey, man, that's easy money. That's easy money.
It is, because I just say, hey, cut it down. That's all.
What's one of the wildest lies one of your homies ever got off in front of the baddies near you?
Oh, I got to think about that, because we told a lot of lies. Like, nothing, again, like, nothing outrageous, but we told a lot of lies.
Well, I have no shame, so I can tell you some of the lies I used to get off back when I was really getting those off.
Go for it, because this was over a decade ago.
This is going to make you laugh, because this is when you realize some people don't put two and two together. Yo, back around 2016, it was back in the day.
Okay.
I used to get off the lie that I was a six man on the Canton Charge.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. For everyone who needs to know who the Canton Charge is, just know it's a G League basketball team affiliated with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Did it ever work is the question.
Oh, did it? Did it? Oh, brother, I was putting up 20 and 15 with that lie. This is the thing. I used to get this lie off, especially because my homie that was with me, he was tall. Like, he was like 6'6", 6'7". Like, play any kind of play basketball and volleyball. He was a big dude. So we'd be hitting the clubs together. So me being me, I'm like, all right, well, you know. Listen, I ain't gonna let him take all the fine baddies. I'm gonna get these lies in too. You fuckers, you kidding me? Yeah, I'm a six man for the Canton Charge. So someone, you know, when they're like, oh my God, you know how they be. Oh my gosh, like, really? You play for the Canton Charge? What's it like in Ohio? Here my lying ass going. I mean, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's cold or something. It's a little chilly. Ain't nothing, you know.
Just like Blacksburg.
You know, it's just like Blacksburg. You know, a little mountainous. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, in the wintertime, you know what I'm saying? I'm really be focusing. Listen to the lies I was getting off. You know, the wintertime, I'm really focusing on the game. Like, I really be in the gym a lot, just working on the games. I don't even be noticing the weather. I just like, oh, like, I just walk outside and it's winter. Oh, shit. I went inside and it was fall. That's the lies I was getting off. They was eating that shit up, yo.
Somebody was like, "Oh my god, so like, do you score a lot? Like, what is your average? Can I like pull you up?"
Here I go. Listen, our roster link is down right now, so you could probably look it up. You could probably look it up, but like last time I checked, they were still trying to rework the systems on the back end. So like, I might not even show up on like the roster because they're still like working on it because they're working through like an upgrade on the back end. But just know, like, we just had it. I'd be like, yo, we just had a game not too long ago. That's why I'm over here, because we had a game against the Portland G League team and I liked it. So I just said I was going to come back to Portland. You know what I'm saying? So I used to say something, bro. I'm telling you, I used to get lies off like that, bro, back in the day.
This was 2016. Yeah, 2016 was.
Let's not put any years on it because I'm not perfectly sure. It's back in
the 2010s, the past decade. How about that?
It's been in the past decade. I can say that. So, moral of the story is, a lot of y'all getting some lies off in front of the baddies. We watching you, and we got you, and they know too. That'd be the funny thing. Women be knowing when we get in front of them and lying, or do they?
They do,
because I heard. Well, did you hear the story about Shorty who said that she slept with a brother? Well, she was met with this basketball player. They did some freaky stuff on the top of his Lambo, in his Lambo, and she said her sister Googled him, and he told her his name was. Are you ready for this? Jesus Shuttleworth.
No. That's hilarious. I do remember one lie I told in college. We're kicking it in this girl's room, a bunch of us, and she had pictures of like her friends like on this collage. And I hit her with this. I don't know. I pulled this straight out of the sky. And I was like, oh, I can tell all the people that you're closest to are in the middle. And as you fan out, those are people that you value, but not as much as the people in the middle. And she's like, oh my God, that's so true, dog. I was like,
listen, what? That is, did you get that from a fucking fortune cookie?
Nigga, I just pulled that.
Tell that everybody in the middle is somebody in special.
Dog, I pulled that out of the sky.
Are you different?
I pulled that out of thin air.
You different. I didn't get like you. I
know you don't. No, you don't. Jesus, man. Jesus, Shuttlesworth.
All right, brother, tell the people. Who the pod is brought to him by. Shout out my guy Bam and everyone else in the chat. Speak on it, episode one.
So as always, this show is brought to you by GoingForTwo.com. Head over to GoingForTwo.com for all your daily fantasy needs. Your drafts are probably over. You're gearing up for the NFL season. I think we're 97 days away from kickoff, so plenty of time. Get some information. Make sure you're really available. Again, GoingForTwo.com for all your fantasy needs. Tonight, D, you and I are going to talk. It's a lot of basketball tonight. We're talking NBA Finals. Some of these head coaching jobs have been filled. LeBron James may be going south to Texas. Potentially, maybe. I doubt it, but we still up. We still have. There's a big matchup. Excuse me. In the WNBA happening right now between Vegas and Connecticut. Bloodline. Stanley Cup Finals. We're going to talk about Liv. We're going to talk about Crackoon. Don't worry. Oh, yeah.
People, if anything, stick around for our conversation on Crackoon. Yes, this is a movie. We're going to discuss it because I think this needs to be discussed more, especially if you are a person of color. We're going to talk about it.
Yes, we are.
Where you want to start at, my brother?
So we're going to start NBA Finals. And oh, yeah, we have a question tonight, too.
Speak. Okay, hold on.
We have a question.
It's the return.
Tonight.
We got a question tonight.
We got a question tonight.
The return to speak to us, and I think this is going to be a funny question, by the way.
All right, so let's start off NBA. Two games to the NBA Finals. We're all tied up at 1-1. We've seen pretty much two different teams. I would say Denver dominated offensively Game One. Miami came back Game Two, and caught fire in the fourth quarter. They've stolen home court advantage. Game three is tomorrow night at 8:30 Eastern. So we have a couple of questions. So we'll start with the first one. What are your thoughts so far on the series overall?
All right. So me and you were texting after game one, and I was telling you, dog, F the Lakers, F the Celtics, because y'all had the perfect finals matchup lined up. And because y'all decided y'all couldn't handle business, now we got to watch the Denver Nuggets just beat these guys down. For the next four games, if we're lucky, it might go five games.
Yep.
right? Because they're clearly the better offensive team. They're longer, they're taller. It seems like the zone really wasn't working versus Denver in that game one, like it had been for Miami against Boston and Milwaukee. But then game two happened, right? And then you're seeing, I think from the beginning, well, I will say this. From something I've noticed between game one and game two is that even though Denver won game one by 11, Miami was never really out of that game, right? Like they found a way to keep themselves within at least like 10.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
In the second game, it was a lot of something similar, right? They found ways to keep themselves in within 10. And in the second game, we kind of saw what they can do if they stay in it, because Miami can play.
Yes,
they can play. They're really well coached, and when they catch fire and start hitting shots, shout out Duncan Robinson. And you know, I would say their offense, their defense is better than Denver's defense. So, you know, if offensively, similarly to the game too, if they start catching up to Miami, you know, offensively, then I think they match up a little bit better against Denver than we like to think. So, man. I'm going to tell you like this. I think that this series just got extended to 6 games. I think I still like the Nuggets.
Yeah. I wish Jimmy Butler was really healthy, because I know his ankle's bothering him. Like this, I would pick Miami if Jimmy Butler's ankle would. Like, it comes in phases. Like, there are times like, oh, okay, there's playoff Jimmy that we've seen. And then other times it feels like he disappears. I think that ankle is hampering him more than we think. I'm with you. Like you said, after game one, I text you. I was like, I ain't watching this shit. I'm just going to watch the highlights. I don't want to watch this foolishness. And then pulled out game two. That's what we get for sleeping on Miami. I'm going to pick Miami tomorrow night. That's not a question. Perfect. Yeah, I think Miami's going to win tomorrow night. I think they'll go up 2-1. But the series as a whole, I mean, Joker has been a revelation. He's been who they said he is. I think Jamal Murray, I think on Draymond's podcast, him and Steve Kerr were talking, and they were like, well, Jamal Murray's the head of that snake. And I am in that. Joker will win in finals MVP if they win, but to me it should be Jamal Murray. But yeah, I mean, it's been – I'm glad Nikola Jokic is getting on the national stage, because all these VORP dorks and all these nerds have been talking about him for the past 3 years, and now, okay, he's here. We get it.
But I think now, I think he's just passing like the eye test, like advanced statistics aside, you're getting, I think now we're in the part of the season where, since the MVP's already been decided, now it's just like the straight eye test. Take all the VORP, the stupid analytics away, just watch the game. Now you're seeing a little bit what those guys are talking about. This guy can play. He's been really, really good. And funny enough, if they give one of those MVPs to Embiid, just one of his two to Embiid,
right?
Like, then, like, I don't think the outcry for him winning one this year is that bad. You know what I'm saying?
Because I think we've said it multiple times. He earned it this year, but you can't give a dude.
You can't give one 3 in a row, because it's like, all right, well, this guy's not like.
And he's only been to the Western Conference. Like, yeah, So.
I agree. In that Giannis, LeBron, KD range, where it's like, bruh, you're not winning MVP. Like,
He's definitely the best player in the world.
I'm starting to think that the league has something to do with making sure, like, the league as an entity sometimes can maybe make sure that when it comes to like MVP voting, because it can feel a little lethargic, it can make the season feel less important if the same guy is winning MVP 2, 3, 4 years in a row, even though he probably is the MVP. Sometimes you got it to, in order to grow the game, you got to expand the people that you're.
Oh, you growing. Think Adam Silver making a call?
I think Adam Silver, he probably made a call. He's probably looking at it like, yo, if Joel Embiid wins this, then we can say we've had the last X amount of MVPs that have been international players, from Giannis to Jokic to Embiid. Now you're looking at this from someone who can maybe take this game and make it more international. Like, yo, you can go to these other countries and say, hey, to your best players over there, like, this is what you can come over here and be. So,
Luca, you up next. So what are your, this is a two-part question. What's the path for Denver to win this series, and what's the path for Miami to win this series?
I'll start with Miami. I think with Miami, listen, I agree with Eric Spoelstra with the, you can't make Jokic a quote-unquote scorer or a quote-unquote passer. Dude's a great one. What you have to do is you have to accept that Jokic is going to get his. How do we neutralize and essentially try to take away Jamal Murray to where, like, Jokic can beat us because you're Jokic. But if we stop Jamal Murray, that makes it harder for not only Jokic, but it makes it harder for the other players too. So if I'm Miami, I'm trying to find ways to just make Jamal Murray uncomfortable, get him off his game, get him off his rhythm, try to take away some of his shots, try to take away some of his passing lanes, you know, really try to get in his way. Maybe we play a little bit, maybe switch up the coverages on him, maybe go from man to man to maybe a little full court press him a little bit, maybe show him some zones. You got to show him different looks to just get him off his feet. I mean, not off his feet, off his comfort level. So I would start there if I'm Miami. If I'm Denver, man,
truth be told, yo, play an inch of defense. Inch. Like literally some inches. Now, I know to most, you know, to if you were a Nuggets or a Heat player here and there, you're like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. We're out there playing defense. These guys are NBA players. But yeah, exactly. Play better defense. Like, you guys are going to have to. And you got to play defense for 48 minutes. Michael Porter Jr., they caught you in 4K out there bullshitting around, twiddling your thumb and whatnot. So I would also say for Denver, similarly to that game one, you got to find ways to get some of these other guys going. The Michael Porter Jr.'s, the mm-hmm. KCP's, the Aaron Gordon's. These guys have to come out and be aggressive for you. Man, I'm going to just tell you like this. Everyone kind of probably feels that Miami might not win another game in this series, which may be fair. But if it's the opposite way and Denver doesn't win another game this series...
Ooh, we having some real conversations about this Joker fella.
I mean, I would say Joel Embiid would kind of re-enter the chat and say, tough.
He can't say shit. He ain't been past the second round. No, young blood, you gotta have a seat.
But see, that's the but see, so
Giannis can enter the chat because he's a champion. But no, Joel, I got to sit down for a year.
But one could say, yo, Giannis, you didn't even make it out the first round. Like that's where it gets a little funky, right? About who.
But we've seen Giannis do it. We haven't seen Joel do it.
But okay, you did it in the past. What my man it. Say in the wire? The thing about the old days is
they the old days. Best show ever. Oh, I love the
old days.
I love a good. Hey, shout out Slim Charles. Hey, realest dude on the whole show.
They the old days. So that's why I think it gets funny, because it's like, yeah, at the end of the day, there could only be one champion. So whether you lost in the first round, whether you lost in the second round, the third round, or the finals, if you're not the one hosting that trophy, then do you look at your season as a failure? Some of these guys might say, yeah, fair.
I would just say Joel has not had that deep playoff run that some of his peers have had. Like, he's never been to a conference final. Jokic has been to two conference finals and a finals.
Yeah, we say that, which is it's true. But he's also been in two game sevens that potentially could have went to the, like, to the conference final. So it's not like he ain't been close. He's been close.
That's fair.
You know.
That's fair.
So it's tough, but I see what you're saying. Like, they got to get it together. What about you? What do you think is the path for success for both Denver and Miami?
I'm going with you for Miami. It's Michael Porter Jr. has to be Denver's second leading scorer, which means you've taken Jamal Murray out of the equation. So I am with you on that. Jamal Murray is the head of this snake. Jokic is going to get his. He's just an all-time great, and it pains me to say that, but he is. He is him. He's going to get his one way or the other. And if you're Denver.
Why is it paying you to say it? The dude can play. And I don't think you've ever came out and said, yo, it's Jokic I got a problem with. It's always been, in my knowledge, since I've known you, it's always been his fans, because it's always like, yo, why are you bringing up medical VORK fork dork stats to defend the man? Just say, yo, you watching him and like, he's just better than everyone else on the court. That's why he should win MVP. I think if more Jokic fans were just saying that straight up, then I think a lot of people would just be like, all right. I mean,
that's fair.
But don't bring up like he has the best
play as the best plus minus in the NBA. And when he's off the court, they're minus 283. Like, ayo, dog, okay, you're not a coach. What do these numbers mean to you? You're not on the sideline. You're not a coach. You're watching the same game I am. So talk to me like someone who's watching the same game I am. You're not a sports analyst, Stephen F. Smith. As boy.
Not Stephen F. Yeah. So that's for me. That's Miami for Denver. Just be Denver. Like you're the best. Like you're the better team. You're the most talented. Your roster's deeper. Like just be yourself. And this can be over in a week. Speaking of which, the final question to this is, it is Tuesday, June the 6th. Game 3 is tomorrow. Do you think this series is over this time next week? Game 5 is next Monday. Do you think when we get on next week, we will have an NBA champion?
We got to think on this.
I have my answer if you want to think.
Go ahead.
No, we will not. I think it ends middle of next week. I think it goes 6.
Call that bitch homicide, because this series is dead next week.
Okay.
Right? Next week, the Miami Heat raising the trophy.
Oh, so the Miami going 4 in a row.
Fuck it. Why not?
Okay. Yeah. All right. Even Hendricks said, yeah. All right.
All right, buddy. Relax.
Bet. So let's jump from.
Yo, why do dogs do that thing where like my man didn't even like sit up to bark. He's just laying out barking. Like what? Dogs are such funny. Cause like now I'm looking at you like, yo, what are you doing? Like
fam, my dog is right here asleep. So my dog does this thing. Like she goes to sleep and she kind of sleeps with her eyes open. Like they'll be half open and you can see them like move. Like I feel like she's having a seizure every time she goes to sleep. It scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, he's sleeping right here with his eyes open. Dogs are weird. You know, I read somewhere that dogs actually don't get they take a lot of mini naps.
Yeah, they're very light sleepers. That's why they take so many naps. Crazy.
You're still a sucker.
Oh, damn. So we talked about damn. Man, just chilling, minding his business, and you calling him a sucker.
Hey, it's like that tough big brother love, man. I don't know what it is. Well, I am a big brother. That's probably why.
So this time next week, you think the NBA season is going to be over. One thing that is over or done is some of these coaching jobs have been filled. Since we last spoke, Frank Vogel and Monty Williams are both head coaches again. Monty is in Detroit, and Frank Vogel is in Phoenix. One note, Monty Williams' contract was massive. I believe it's close to $100 million.
And I'd love to see a black man get paid.
So, from that, thoughts on these hires, and then the second part of that, what are these teams going to look like in the next 3 years with these coaches?
Let me start with Phoenix. Phoenix. So let me get this straight. You fired a head coach with nothing but success on his resume since he took over this job, and you went and hired Frank Vogel. Was that really the better hire? I'm not sure. But I guess if you're looking at it from the ownership standpoint, new owner, he wanted to probably have his head coach in there to kind of shed themselves of that previous era. And so he was probably looking at it as, y'all haven't been back to the NBA finals in what, 2 seasons?
It's
been like 2 seasons since y'all been to the NBA finals. It's clear that y'all are trending downward versus trending upward. Why don't we just call it now, wash our hands of each other and allow you to, you know, take your talents elsewhere while we bring in someone that I feel good about, that I handpicked so I can know that that's my guy. And we can wash our hands of whoever the Donald Sterling ass motherfucker was that sold the team to me. I think that's ultimately what happened. And I think that's how they landed on Frank Vogel. I think when they were looking at the coaching landscape, I bet you the GM probably was like, maybe you shouldn't fire Monty Williams. And the owner was probably like, yeah, but I signed your contract, so it's either Monty or you. Pick one.
Bye, Monty.
Bye, Monty. So, tough on Monty and getting fired, but congratulations to Frank Vogel in Phoenix. I think he's going to do a pretty good job. I think, you know, he's real defensive minded. So curious to see when you have some offensive juggernauts like Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, like how do you work around that and you game plan it for it? But I mean, he had Anthony Davis and LeBron James, so I think he can do something maybe similar with those two offensive juggernauts. Now let's get to Monty Williams in Detroit. Because if you listen to the backstory of how maybe Monty Williams got fired, you can understand why a brother like that, after getting fired for winning, is going to turn around and look at a team like Detroit, who's done nothing but lose, and say, fuck no, I'm not being part of this type of rebuild. Like, he probably looked at it and said, there are rebuilds and there are Civil yes. War reconstructions. And that's what the Detroit Pistons are right now. The Detroit Pistons are America, like, in 1866. And you're going to have to completely rebuild it because, whew, they need a lot of help. A lot of help. If I'm Monty Williams, I'm saying, yes. They got a young core, Jaden Ivey, Cade Cunningham, James Wiseman. But what do they have?
Marvin Bagley.
Okay, so, but how can he play with James Wiseman? They're kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, they got to figure that out.
That's fair.
They got some things to figure out in Detroit. But I'm going to tell you like this. Monty Williams went to him and said, hey, you want me to coach? Cool. No problem. I'm going to need some money. A lot of it. And they're going to be like, all right, how about we give you X amount based on what you're making in Phoenix? And they said, I'm glad you mentioned Phoenix, because you saw how, like, I took him to the NBA Finals, and I doubled that up with a 60-win season, then I doubled that up with like a 49, 50-win season, and still found a way to get fired. Cool. So you see what I can do with Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and an old-ass Chris Paul. Now imagine what I can do with these young studs. You want me? I want my money.
And let's not forget, Detroit has the 5th overall pick.
And they have the 5th overall pick. So they need it. I think when you look on the three-year look ahead for both the Suns and the Pistons, I think if you're the Suns, you have to at least reach a conference finals or an NBA finals in the next 3 years. I think it's that time for you guys. You have Kevin Durant. You have Devin Booker. You have, right as of right now, DeAndre Ayton. Y'all got to figure that out on how to be successful. I think if you're the Pistons, in the next 3 years, you should be starting to make the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like, you should be, if next year you should be fighting for a play-in tournament spot. The year after that, you should be fighting for a top four seed. The year after that, you should be thinking about how can we make it to the second or third round of the NBA playoffs.
Correct.
I think that should be.
I'm with you. Yes, I think that is Detroit's trajectory. Phoenix, you got to win a championship. If Frank Vogel hasn't won it, if Devin Booker and Kevin Durant are still together in 3 years and they haven't won a championship, Frank Vogel will be gone. And now we're talking about a rebuild in Phoenix. I'm with you. I like the Frank Vogel fire. They're going to play defense. That's his calling card. He's going to have to find people to put around KD and Booker that are defensive specialists because they can handle the scoring. I think Ayton is gone one way or the other. I know Vogel said he wants to bring him back up to an all-star level. I think that's window dressing. I think he is trying to add some value to DeAndre Ayton. I think he wants to get Ayton out of there. Detroit, I mean, that's cool. Like, I guess, like, take the money. You want me to move to Detroit? I need some money. And like you said, this team is so young. There's going to be so much. But Monty can do that, right? Like, Monty, when he got to Phoenix, they were in the gutter. And then 2 years later, they're in the finals. So he can do it.
He probably just didn't want to do it because it's like, yo, what the fuck, man? Like, this is some bullshit. I feel for him, though. And he has every right to feel that way because, yo, dog, he literally just lost his job because there's a new owner. The old owner probably would just let him rock out. Like, yo, dog, I mean, you haven't really done anything. I'm going to put it like this. I don't think Monty Williams did anything to lose the job.
I don't think he did either. I don't think he did anything to lose job.
What do you do when you gut your bench to get Kevin Durant, and then Kevin Durant and Devin Booker would have hurt Chris Paul, can't get it done, and DeAndre Ayton out there playing soft?
DeAndre Ayton don't want to be there. He needs a change of scenery. Speaking of changes of scenery, we're going to jump into our favorite game, our quick hitters.
Oh, yeah. Big deal or no deal?
So the first one, again, talking about changes of scenery. Kyrie Irving, allegedly, maybe, potentially, possibly, maybe reached out to LeBron and asked if he wanted to come to Dallas. D, is this a big deal or is it no deal?
This like when the pretty girl that ain't give you no type of time a day just like looks your way and winks at you, says, hey, you look nice, or says, hey, I like your shoes. Like, oh, damn, you be feeling yourself. Oh, shit. I'm fly as hell. Put your feet by your head. Like, oh, damn, I hear what she's saying. Yeah, these just fly as hell. And then you get back to your homies and you be like, hey, yo, my man, Shorty was, she was digging me. Y'all know Shorty from homeroom? She said, nah, man, young bull fly. And they look at you and they start laughing. Like, bruh, you look doofy. You got toilet paper off your shoe. That's what she was looking at. This is kind of like, I look at this the same way. Mavericks fans, y'all are sitting here looking at this like Kyrie is recruiting Bron to Dallas. I think you need to look inward a little bit. This is Kyrie. This is LeBron. No, this is Rich Paul and them. And Kyrie letting the world know, hey, yo, dog, I did all I can to help make the Dallas Mavericks better. And y'all's ownership don't want to do better.
So
if I leave, I leave. I think Kyrie is basically trying to put it out there. Yo, I want to play with LeBron again in some way, shape, or form. I think it would be... I think it's impossible, not impossible. Yeah, I think it's quite impossible for LeBron to end up in Dallas. Not enough trade assets. That's a stinky offer that has to get made there. I think Kyrie's team is trying to wave the alarm that they are doing everything that they can to try to stay in Dallas, to make it work with Luka and build around them. I think Dallas is probably giving Kyrie a lot of pushback, and he probably feels like they don't want him there anymore.
So first things first, this is not going to happen. This is impossible. It just felt nice for an hour yesterday that for once it's not someone poaching the Mavericks. It's the Mavericks poaching someone else. It felt really nice to be the cute girl yesterday. I think this is a leverage move by Kyrie. I don't think it's going to work. I think he wants the 4-year max, and I think we keep forgetting that Mark Cuban told Steve Nash to kick rocks because Steve Nash wanted an extra 5th year, and he also told Tyson Chandler to go to hell and wouldn't pay him after just winning the championship. So I wouldn't be shocked if the Mavericks offered Kyrie 4 years at the max, maybe a 4+1 or 3+1, and he does not like it. I would prefer a sign and trade to add some depth. I think the key with Luka is going to be surrounding him. He has done it without a second co-star, and he made it to the Western Conference Finals. I don't think Luka and Kyrie.
Well, that's not true. That's not true.
What?
Because now you're calling Jalen Brunson scrum. He won't scrum.
I'm not calling him scrum, but Jalen Brunson's not a superstar. Like, would you call Jalen Brunson a superstar?
I just saw, listen, if he's not a superstar now, he's on his way, because I saw him take the best team in the East, the Eastern Conference champions, took them to the brim by his damn.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's a scrub.
And y'all didn't want to pay him.
But Jalen Brunson is not. But Jalen Brunson is not the type of electric guard that Kyrie is. Can we agree to that?
Well, yeah, but there's only one Kyrie. That's a sauce guy.
That's what I'm saying. Right. That's my point exactly. But I don't think Luka and Kyrie can exist on the same team. They were like 5-8 on the floor together. We've seen enough. Get what you can for Kyrie and go from there. Dude, I know they're gonna trade the 10th overall pick. I don't think they should, but they are.
Really?
Yeah, they're gonna trade it. I just don't know what is 10 gonna get you.
I mean, what? 10 and some players, 10 like, and Kyrie might get you somebody.
Like, if you tell me 10 and Kyrie can get me OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam, hey.
Excuse me?
It's not happening, though. That's what I'm saying, right? Like, there's...
Mavericks have no assets, which makes it funnier that people...
They have some expiring contracts. Josh Green is young. Jaden Hardy is young. They just don't have, you know, the kind of assets that Utah or Oklahoma City may have.
So they ain't got no assets, really?
Not really, no.
Exactly. It's okay. It's okay. This is not a big deal. Bron, enjoy Southern California. Kyrie, God bless you. You might end up on the Brooklyn Nets again.
That would be hilarious. Quick shift to the last. I think this is the last. It is the last basketball conversation of the night. The Las Vegas Aces have been cooking. Actually, right now, Las Vegas and Connecticut are playing right now for the number one seed in the WNBA. Vegas is 6-0. Connecticut is 6-1. Vegas is up 53-41 in the fourth. Vegas won the championship last year. They added Candace Parker. They're the favorites to win the championship this year. Is the 6-0 start a big deal or no big deal?
The Vegas Aces are letting y'all know now dominance is on the way. This is a big deal, man. We're talking about, yo, what's the single season WNBA record for wins?
Let's see. It's only 32 games.
Oh, 32 games? So it's probably like 27-5.
So in 2014, Phoenix won 29.
Damn, 29-4?
29-5. Okay. So it's 34 games, not 32.
Okay. Whew. Only losing five games. I'm calling right now. Big deal because the Las Vegas Aces are going to break the single season record for wins in the season. They're going to go 30-4.
Yeah. It will be 30-6 because it's 30. Hold on.
30. Whatever. Las Vegas Aces are winning 30 games this season. Book it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. It's 40 games now. And I...
30-10. I'm calling it right now.
I'm going to take a step further.
31-9.
I'll say 33-7. Like, if anyone who watches the W and have watched Vegas play, they have five people that can go off for 30 any given night. No other team has more than three.
31-9 because the best NBA team didn't lose double digit games. The best NBA regular season team ever didn't lose double digit games. So I'm not going to leave it to the best regular season WNBA team.
Last note about the Aces. They're the beginning of the season. Their schedule is so hard. It's hard in regards to the number of away games that they're playing. Like, they're playing back to backs. They're playing three games in five nights. Like, as the season gets on, their schedule is going to get easier compared to a team like Los Angeles, who has had playing maybe one game a week. Their season is going to get harder. So, like, as the season goes on, Vegas is going to have more rest between games compared to some of their other teams that they're fighting against. Dog, 33-7.
Listen, wouldn't it be something, right? I mean, they would be they're probably the favorite to win it. They are the favorite to win.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. They're the odds-on favorite. Like, you would have to put a whole lot of money down to get anything back if you put money on Vegas.
Well, I'll put it like this. I thought the South Carolina Gamecocks were easily the biggest them versus the field you could possibly ever take, and they lost. So
That's true.
I guess I just don't know. Anyone can win on any given day. I think looking back on it, Iowa did everyone – let me stop. Iowa, just know if y'all didn't pull off that luck of a game, what Dawn Staley and them girls would have did to LSU.
Whew, it would have been racism. Definitely. Kim Mulkey would have called the police. Last thing, yeah, the game right now, four Vegas players are in double digits. Like, just
they cooking.
Dog day.
Bam said, back to our Detroit and Monty Williams conversation. Bam said, we thought they were making the playoffs with Dwayne Casey. Listen, I've watched enough Dwayne Casey to let coach teams to let you know if you thought they were making the playoffs, they weren't winning. And if you thought they were making the playoffs in general, you're crazy. Especially
without Kawhi Leonard.
Exactly.
All right, so let's...
Well, he wasn't the coach of that team, by the way.
Oh, that was Nick Nurse. That's right. That was Nick Nurse's first year. Thank you for that. Let's switch to wrestling and the Bloodline. Yeah. Dog, this feud is on fire.
Yep.
Big deal, no deal.
Listen, biggest deal in professional wrestling right now.
Talk to me.
Bloodline. Listen, there's a stat yesterday that... Friday Night SmackDown's viewership increased historically last week during the Bloodline segment. Let me tell y'all something. Whether you like him or not, Roman Reigns put asses in seats. You know why? Because he is
one of the three biggest draws in wrestling right now. Do you want to know why? Because the dude is great at what he does. I don't care. The Bloodline is great. This feud is great. It's great for wrestling fans. It's going to produce a lot of great matches. And I think the most important part about all this is that there is no way that this storyline can go wrong, which no matter which way they take it, because they can take it in so many different ways. And that's what I think is amazing. They could find a way to bring these guys all back together to make the Bloodline stronger. They could find a way to separate everyone so everyone can go their own ultimate ways, ultimate single different ways. I think we are witnessing wrestling history, wrestling greatness. Appreciate this storytelling if you're a wrestling fan, because I just don't think there will be many storylines as good as this Bloodline one.
I'll take it a step further. They can break up the Bloodline and bring them back at the end of the year. Like, this is just grade A storytelling. This is a massive deal. Shout out to Triple H. Vince McMahon does not have this kind of patience. He does not have this kind of vision to let something like this play out. This story cannot
stop.
Exactly, Hendrix.
Hendrix. Stop. Stop.
Hendrix likes the Bloodline too. Hendrix likes the Bloodline too. I'll say they can stretch this out to WrestleMania next year if they want to, right? Like, they can do whatever they want.
You think so?
Yeah, like this story. Like, now we're focusing on Jimmy. Like, we had Jay's arc. Now we're with Jimmy. We said it last week. We haven't even touched Solo yet. Like, we have a whole lot of storytelling left to do.
Here's another angle that I'll throw out there. We haven't explored this whole entire faction as faces. We've only known them as heels.
It's funny because I feel like they're a little kayfabe there for a while, because fans were cheering for them when they were supposed to be booing them. Like, people still throw up the one. Roman say, acknowledge me. I'm throwing up the one. You Roman Reigns.
He'd be like, acknowledge me. I'd be like, yeah.
It's funny. The other day I was watching. Do you remember his promo against Brock Lesnar on Friday Night SmackDown? He was like, you must be confused, Fraun boy. This is my show. This cameraman, they work for me, dog. Like that. Bro, they stopped trying to shove Roman down our throats as a face and turn him heel. Like, I guess they learned from the John Cena mistake.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I think it was probably, yeah, I think they did. I think it's either,
like, you can't be a heel or face forever. You have exactly. to, even Hulk Hogan turned. Like, you gotta.
And there's nothing wrong with a small heel turn. I mean, listen, I tell everybody, one of my favorite eras of Stone Cold Steve Austin was his heel phase. And that was some funny shit. When The Rock was a heel, dog, now that was pure comedy.
Oh, he used to play the guitar? Oh. Yeah.
Nah, that was pure comedy. Booker T, when Booker T was a heel, hilarious. Triple H, I mean, and then, of course, you have the all-time greats, the Randy Ortons, the Edges. I mean, some of those guys, they're just Hall of Fame.
Remember when Edge had sex with Lita on live TV?
That was prime time cinema. And some of us wish that they had smartphones back then. That's when you should have been asking me if I had smartphones, Bam. I'm going to tell you, I would have.
I know Matt Hardy had to be sick.
Was that his girl in real life?
Yeah, that was a real story that bled into wrestling. Like, that was real. Like, Lita and Matt Hardy were together, and then she got with Edge. Like, that, no, Dolph, that was real.
Like
dead ass real.
Take some
time. Google it right now.
Nah, wait. I'm going to Google it later, but what?
Yeah, no, let's do it right now, because if I'm wrong, let's see. Was the Lita and Edge story true?
Tell me.
Yes, it was real.
Huh?
Yeah, that was real. I thought so. Yeah, like, Matt Hardy and Lita were a thing in real life. And then she got with Edge. And Vince was like, oh, this is a great story. Let's put this.
So she cheated.
I don't know for sure. One can assume.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's not the... I mean, hell, Carmella and Corey Graves. Corey Graves was married, and then he cheated on his wife. Well, they were separated with Carmella, and now he and Carmella married and got a baby on the way.
Yeah, this is... Listen.
we got to have this. We got to have some other conversations, but we're going to come back to this. We're going to come back to this because I got some thoughts. Right. What else we got?
All right, let's jump to hockey. Knights, Panthers, Vegas is up 2-0 in the Stanley Cup Finals. Anything on that front?
Listen, to the reporter that asked the world what would Vegas look like during a championship parade, slap yourself because you clearly don't know. But I also agree with you because I don't know if the Panthers have anything for the Knights. I see this going five games max. I think the Vegas Knights are the best team here.
Did you see the report of that stiff arm, that dude trying to get in her shot?
Yeah. Sometimes you got to do it, bro.
Hey, love it. Yeah, and the dude
who said, what do you say when people try to walk into your picture? Like, if you're trying to take a picture.
I say, dog, what the fuck, man?
I'm usually with the, oh, we're not taking a picture here. No, don't worry. We're not taking a picture here.
Oh, you're good. Yeah, keep, yeah. Well, we can stop for you.
You just want to be rude, right? No, don't worry. We're not taking a picture. We'll wait for you. It's okay. You good? That's why.
Okay. All right, I'm going to call it ISO because you want to talk about F1 Spanish Grand Prix last weekend.
It is. Listen, if you are a Mercedes fan, ISO on me. If you're a Mercedes fan, be with me because last week's Spanish Grand Prix was almost the perfect weekend. Mercedes came in. They had a lot of good pace. Obviously, I think Max Verstappen and the Red Bull, clearly the best, still the best track on the grid. But this weekend, I think the Silver Arrows and Mercedes made a lot of ground up. They had a lot of good pace this weekend. I think Lewis started it off the race in either third or fourth and ended up coming in second. George Russell started in like sixth or seventh, ended up coming in third. We had a lot of good upgrades. We brought a lot of good upgrades from the last race to this one. So excited. I know the next race isn't until next weekend. Forgot where it is off the top, but if this is a sign of things to come, I think Mercedes may have some pace. Hopefully, we can start challenging Red Bull for real in some of these races. But I'm going to tell you right now, what Red Bull is doing, what Max Verstappen and Red Bull is doing to the rest of the field, it is ungodly. They are bending folks over and just giving them a hard beefy.
Okay. Jesus. That was graphic. God. Is that a pause moment or do you want to be unpaused?
Oh, no, that's a big pause. I am so sorry. All right, what's next? Holla.
All right, let's jump to college football. The SEC won't adapt to a 9-game in-conference schedule, even with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma. Is that a big deal or no deal?
Yo, similarly to how racism in this country goes, the SEC is letting y'all and the College Football Playoff Committee know where they stand. Yo, dog, I don't give a fuck what you're saying. 8 games. You know why we only need 8 games in conference? Because whether we have 8 conference games or 9 conference games, our champion's getting in, and more than likely our second best team, our runner-up, is getting in. Y'all are going to keep taking us, so if we're going to keep doing the bare minimum, we're going to keep doing the bare minimum. The SEC is saying, why buy the cow when I get the damn milk for free?
And SEC said, we're not watering down our product. We got that raw. We're going to keep it raw, and we're going to give it to you raw. Yeah. Pause.
Yep. They said, oh, y'all tired of seeing Bama play the Citadel? Okay, bet. We'll throw Middle Tennessee in here if y'all really want them to play something. Fine. Yo, dog, stop it. And they don't need to play a 9-game conference because I've seen them play 1 game against some of the best teams in other leagues, and it's a beatdown from start to finish. So let them keep playing each other so they can get ready to beat up on y'all. That's all they really care about. Yo, you know, in the SEC, dog, like they spend somewhere in Tuscaloosa, Nick Saban is like deep in his film room trying to game plan how the hell to beat Georgia. How the hell to beat,
yeah,
like a Florida. Like, how do we put, like, you know what I'm saying? And that's just the cream of the crop. Now imagine, this is the thing about the SEC. It don't be the Bama game that gets a team like a Mississippi State. It's the shit where you got to play Bama 1 week, then you got to double up and play Florida the next week, then you got Mississippi State, then you got Arkansas, then you got Auburn, then you got A&M. Dog, what? Then you finish the season versus LSU. Are you killing me?
What are we talking about? What is this?
Like, you, man.
Murderer's Row.
Most conferences only have like 1 or 2 teams that are in those type of classes. This is a conference full of those type of teams.
this conference is full. The bottom feeders of the SEC could go to other Power 5 conferences and dominate.
Yeah. A lot of y'all think y'all want that Vanderbilt smoke until Vanderbilt coming in y'all's program, I mean, coming into y'all's conference, kicking the doughs in on some of y'all's best teams. Now you're confused.
Right. You want Missouri to Missouri in the Pac-12, and you're like, whoa, how are they beating Utah by 30?
Yeah.
So today was announced that LIV Golf and the PGA are merging. Big deal or no deal?
I need someone to play It's All About the Benjamins by Puff Daddy and the Family, because that's what this is all about, baby. This is all about the Benjamins. Them Saudi, the Saudis that own LIV and whoever owns the PGA, they thought about some things. And they said, hey, I know y'all getting money, and I know we getting money, but if we brought this bitch together, everybody gets money.
We get money.
Yeah. So I feel funny, though, because if you were a player who left the PGA to join LIV, now you're like, oh shit, I really gave up the bag for this.
So I don't feel bad for them because they got their money. For me, it's the, if you were a golfer that was entertaining jumping to LIV and then the PGA talked to you about this morality stuff, like, oh, you're gonna take the Saudi blood money, and you, and then a year later
they took
the Saudi money.
Oh, nah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like, remember last year, it was like, oh, you don't want to go to LIV. The Saudis are killing people, yada, yada, yada. This money is dirty, blood money. And then a year later, yeah, you know, blood money spilled the same as clean money. So,
because they saw what was happening. They saw the revenue they were getting when some of these bigger ones, especially like the Masters, when you had LIV participants and PGA participants both there. And now it's like, oh. Okay,
and they're suing each other, right? So, hey, man, let's cut these lawsuits. Let's get this money. It's
all money.
It's the West Side and East Side joining together. This is another Wire reference. When
this blood and Crips coming together.
Yeah, this is. I can't believe Barksdale. When Barksdale went to jail and Stringer teamed up with Prop Joe and they sold product from the Greek. Again, a Wire reference. If you haven't watched Wire, you don't understand. Last thing in this section, we saved it for last. We've had Cocaine Bear. What's the other one? It was Cocaine Shark. Cocaine Shark. And now we get Crack Coon. How racist is it? We're not even going to say big deal. No, like, how racist is this on a scale from 1 to David Duke?
This is Andrew Jackson racist. This is Lyndon B. Johnson racist. This is damn near Donald Sterling racist. Yo, dog, America. I'm gonna look in the camera when I say this. Black people in America, when they show you how they feel about you, you have to accept it. Crack coon. Oh, they not geez. Slick. Because how the hell did a raccoon get coke? And why is it not cocaine coon?
Where is the raccoon going to be when it stumbles on this crack?
That's true.
Where? Because I ain't never seen no raccoon in the hood before. Have you?
Or cocaine.
Nah, crack-coon. Crack.
Oh.
Where is a raccoon going to be when it finds crack? That's how
Wait a minute, but hold on. Now I'm starting to see the plot. This raccoon's going to be in the hood. South Central LA like hood.
That's what I'm saying.
And he's going to stumble upon some crack and smoke it.
Crack-coon. Like,
what's more racist? This movie or going to go see this movie?
I'll say this. I would go see it. But if I walked in, hold on, let me finish. If I walked in and saw just a bunch of white people, I'd leave. Because then I know what the get down was. Because if I walk in and it's like a bunch of black people and we here just to get these jokes off, okay.
What jokes? Crack coon. This ain't no joke. They are telling you what they think of you.
Hilarious.
Listen, Dr. Umar, go see Crack Coon and come back with your analysis, and that's going to tell me all I need to know.
When does Crack Coon come out?
And Dr. Umar, you went too hard on the Little Mermaid and them. I agreed with your take on the last Black Panther, but you was going too hard on Little Mermaid and them.
When does this come out? Has it already been released?
Nah, they're probably filming it.
No, yeah. It came out in 2010.
Crackcoon?
Yeah. Nah, this can't. Hold on.
Oh, nah, this racist. They went back in time and released it so they wouldn't get canceled. Oh, okay.
Nah, fam.
Crackcoon? Are we sure?
I can't tell. Because there's a movie. Yeah. Oh, this might be a remake then. Because in 2010, there was one called Crackcoon with a K. This one is Crackcoon with a C.
I think what you're talking about is Kraken.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's upcoming. Oh, my God.
When a synthetically altered street drug is discarded in the woods by a drug dealer during a car chase with police, the fallout proves nothing less than horrific when an innocent raccoon eats it, transforming it into a nightmarish killing machine straight from the bowels of hell, with unsuspecting campers, tourists, and residents of a mountain community and all in close proximity to the epicenter. No one is safe from the monster's unrelenting rampage.
Oh, this is Reagan's worst nightmare.
Oh, man, are you kidding me? Reagan was racist.
Reagan is the biggest racist. I had no idea Ronald Reagan was an actor. I learned that. I was like, you gotta be shitting me, man.
Oh yeah, he was acting like he liked Black people. He hated us.
I mean, the welfare
community. But drugs in our community, crack. Yes, he did. Listen. Folks, skin folks, when they tell you how they feel about you, show them.
Pay attention. You ready to answer this question?
Oh, brother. All right, people. We got a speak to us question that is hilarious. Yo, Bam said the trailer for Crackcoon has a white man in a do-rag. When what? I found out who directed it, I'm going to find you, and I'm going to... You know what? You lucky that this is for this... Program is for families, because what I'm gonna do to you can't even be said on FCC airwaves. Don't let me catch you. Whoa, Bam. Whoa. Speak to us.
Yeah, so we got a question.
Oh, man. All right, Danny, I'm gonna read the speak to us question for the
okay. All
right. Folks, get ready, because this one's funny, and Bam, you're hilarious. All right, so to everyone who is listening to the audio adventure, the speak to us question this week is: Hello, fellas. My girlfriend and I have been together for 2 years now, and I've always been a big fantasy and sports head. Since I first met her, my girlfriend has never much been into sports in general. I've tried to get her more in some of the pro leagues that I love, like the NBA and the NFL, but nothing seems to stick. Normal stuff. Recently, she's been very much into the NBA playoffs, and every time she gets a chance, she runs to watch the Miami Heat play, saying that she loves their white jerseys and the way that they play basketball. He says, really, I think she likes looking at one of the players from the Heat, which brings me to my question. What do you do when your girl wants a pro athlete as a crush when there's nothing athletic about you?
So first, I'm sorry, brother, but she's looking at Tyler Hero and that relationship is over. Second thing is, the question is, what do you do when your girl wants a pro athlete and there's nothing athletic about you? The same thing she does when you want a supermodel and there's nothing supermodel about her. You deal with it.
Is that what you do?
I mean, like,
that what you do?
Here's what I always say. Like, say what? Shut up.
I didn't say that. Go ahead. No, go ahead. What was this? Don't pay
to our friend, our listener, this is what I'll say. Oh. If she want an athlete that bad, let her go get one. If she wanting to take her shot at Jimmy Butler, hey, sis, knock yourself out. Just don't come back.
All right, I'm going to answer this, and then I'm going to follow up with a question for you. Because okay. I guess I'm free.
Okay.
Listen, my brother, what you need to do is you need to go by her house, and you need to see, well, if y'all, assuming y'all don't live together, you need to go by her house and find all your stuff that's there, and you need to put it in a box, and you need to break up with her, and you need to leave her.
Really?
That is not your girl no more. And something tells me one of her friends probably recently started fucking with a basketball player. I'm not going to say who, not going to say where, not going to say when, but she's having a little influence, and she's looking at her friend's vacations, and then she's looking at your bum-ass vacations you're taking her on. You don't have her driving the boat. You don't have her in Bali. You don't have her with a nice little coconut drink. You have her in Columbia, South Carolina, or at Myrtle Beach, and she's fed up with that bullshit. So she is saying, step your fucking pockets up, you broke brokey.
I think it's okay to have a celebrity crush, because the point is it'll never happen.
That's the thing. This is happening. My brother, she said, and I quote your words, she's not very much into sports in general, but loves watching the Miami Heat because of their jerseys and the way they play basketball. So you mean to tell me a couple weeks ago, this bitch didn't even know what a fucking 2-3 zone is, and now she's picking out the man who's not rolling on the pick and roll? Are you fucking shitting me?
She learned Eric Spoelstra's calls and everything.
She agreeing with Doris Burke, Mark Jones, and Mark Jackson and them on the call, talking about some, yeah, that's right. That set look a little funky. That's not your girl. And I want you to ask her, I want you to see her play 2K. I bet you she'd know how to give somebody some buckets. Akili in the comments said, a wise man once said, don't save her. She don't want to be saved. Exactly. Now, Danny, my question to you is,
yep,
what do you do when your girl leave you and find an upgrade, like a real upgrade, like something, mm-hmm, a brother that's got something that you don't have, like maybe like for you in your case,
someone with hair? Is that what you're about to say?
What if you dating a girl and she leave you for a brother with a full fucking fro, like one of the Duke starting five haircuts?
Here's my philosophy on that and life in general. Control what you can control.
Oh, if
his ass. No, ain't no need.
I'm gonna go here.
If she leave me for a man with a full head of hair, then hey man, go ahead, knock yourself out.
I love how like untrue men are, because we got some microphones in this. This dude's lying. I want everyone to know that.
Listen, I ain't forcing nobody to be with me. You know, if you want to go, then hey man. The thing, like, you just don't come back. Like, that's it. Like, you get to him and he whack and you miss that old thing. Hey, I hope you recorded some videos in your phone, because I ain't got nothing for you.
All right. So I'm going to answer my own question. If my girl leaves me for a brother who has traits that I do not, he a fly guy. Well, I'm going to find those traits and I'm going to make sure they're not so fly anymore. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's like,
he's 6'7". All right. So if I break one of his knees, then what?
Then you go in jail.
Prove it.
Or he might shoot you.
Pew pew. I got something too.
Oh, okay. We just shoot. All right. All right, James West. if my wife left me, I'm trying to think of someone. Like, if she left me for Steph Curry, I'm like, hey man, that's Steph Curry.
Whoa, no, brother. Your wife leave you for one of them, what if your wife leave you for old Boris Cujo ass looking dude?
I look like
Boris Cujo.
Me.
What? You look like who? Boris Cujo. Yo, all right, get the fuck out of here.
I have a theory that all bald black men look alike, so.
Get the fuck out of here.
Thank you, Akili. He's shiesty as a bitch, ain't he?
Hey. Akili, you hear this? My man said he look like Boris Cujo. Yo, if you look like Boris Cujo, then I'm going to start listening to people when they tell me I look like LeBron. They're grown people.
Y'all, ain't no one told you look like LeBron.
LeBron James. I look at him like, bitch,
The crack coon told you look like LeBron?
Yeah. Damian Lillard and LeBron James are two NBA players that people tell me I look like. Damian Lillard, listen, at least with LeBron, there's a beard there. With Damian Lillard, bro, I was like, yo, what are you looking at? I'm like, yo, oh, okay, Akili. Yeah,
Akili. Whoa, whoa, Akili. All right,
All right, Akili.
Bam, you calling me a dog. I don't appreciate that shit.
Yeah, hey, Akili, you must look like Professor Clump or something.
we got it. Yeah, Akili, you on the show next week.
Oh, man.
Nah, we got to find Akili on Facebook. Hold on. No, sir.
Listen, nah, I ain't gonna do that, Akili. I ain't going to find you on Facebook, but if I need to.
I will.
Yeah. Listen, this is all I'm saying to this anonymous asker. What do you do when your girl wants a pro athlete, but there's nothing athletic about you? You leave and you find someone new. And you find a girl who don't know nothing about sports and don't ever want to know nothing about sports. Doesn't even want to watch it. Want to go in the other room and watch Real Housewives. Bring them women back.
Nah, leave them women in the past. Nah. Hell no. I'd rather.
Nah. Yeah, all right. Next thing you know. Because I'm going to tell you right now. No,
what is Desperate Housewives? A bunch of women walk around flaunting their wealth. She going to watch that and be like, well, won't you buy me a Land Rover? Nah,
But like, you could just be like, we broke. No. Or no, I'm just not getting you that. Or, listen, it's a great question. Actually, no, I'm not going to ask that question because it's going to sound crazy.
Ask it. We here. Go ahead.
What do you do when your girl is asking you to buy her stuff, but like she hasn't,
finish your thought. You're almost there.
What happens when your girl asks you to buy, wants you to buy you stuff, but like you don't want to buy it for her, and two, if you bought it for her, it would be whack as fuck because she would make it whack as fuck.
So can you give us an example? Like, hey, she asked for a handbag, but her wardrobe doesn't.
She asked you to buy her an ass, but if you bought her an ass, you wouldn't look right with that much ass on her.
Understood. That's a very unique and specific situation. I would say don't be out here buying your girl body parts. That's just me.
If you smart, you don't buy it.
That's just me.
Listen, my brother, just know, do you think this brother who asked this question is rooting for the Nuggets now?
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I would be too.
You know what? If the Nuggets win, he gonna find a picture of Jokic and give it to her. Like, yo, yeah, that's an NBA player. That's your man. Bam. Don't we not asking that question, my brother. That's not seeing the light of day. Bam.
Bam.
No, yo, sir.
Yo, for the audio adventure listeners, I want you to know Bam McGee 11 is wild today. He says, what about if your girl asks you to buy her a sex toy?
Don't buy.
Why are you asking me to buy you this? Like, these are your parts. Go.
Here's the thing. You can't buy her something that's bigger. You can't do that.
Oh, we about to have a good conversation.
Can't do that.
And you gotta ask her, why do you want something that big inside of you? Because I'm gonna be honest with you. Some of y'all are some freaks. Some of y'all, I'd have seen the 12-inch gargantuan monster that you done put inside of you, and now I gotta wonder how deep it goes. I done seen it. Some of y'all putting shower rods inside of you, and I'm supposed to just follow suit right behind that? What's going on here?
Listen, man, it's all cool as long as everyone's on the same page, but do not.
What's the same page? Shorty, that thing is the size of my, it could be my shower rod, and you're putting that inside of you? What type
do of? Do not buy your girl Thor's hammer. Chill out.
No, that's what I call my shit. That shit is, that's just not Thor's.
Now, Akili, like, we've gone too far. I don't know what, I don't care what you call your shit, dog. We did not need, dog. Jeff is gonna send us a message.
Listen, you know what? And the moral of this story is, there is a rapper who started a song by saying, "If your girl is at any season opening basketball game, that is not your girl." That applies to, I'm not even going to acknowledge that, Bam. That applies to most things. So to whoever asked this question, God bless you, and leave that girl and go find your real queen.
On a more positive note, for those of you who are paying attention, there's 3 minutes left in the Vegas game, and they're only up by three after being up double digits. So
Connecticut's good.
Connecticut is a good team. D, where can the people find you? And don't say AdamandEve.com.
Oh, yeah. Not on AdamandEve.com. You can find me at LosDMix. That's at LosDeeMix on Instagram, on Twitter. I've been researching DJ equipment now that I'm in this new spot. I almost pulled the trigger on Friday on a new board, but so just know it's coming. The Twitch is coming. As you guys can see, we are taking Speak to Us questions that are not sports related. And as you can see, they can generate some really, really, really good conversations.
Kaylee brings up a good question. No, we have not talked about Dynasty this week.
Actually, we can, Danny, I'm gonna let you say your socials, and then we can end this off with a quick Dynasty chat. And Akili, we'll put a pin on this and make sure we revisit next week so we can really get into the Dynasty, because I thought that was some fun shit that happened.
You can find me on the socials, Danny Ocean 41, speak on it_pod, Twitter, Instagram, send us emails, speakonapod14@gmail.com. No, Keely, we can talk about what happened, because that was hilarious. I was at a function on Friday, and I drive home, and there are 80 messages in that chat.
Oh, yep.
Like, I text you, and I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, no, I was leaving the barbershop, and then I just saw that someone had mentioned something about Greg and his trades, and I literally was just like, I've been trying to tell y'all this entire time. It's not me. My man is a low ball king. Then he went in and just defended it, which only made it more hilarious. Because some of his reason, I was like, yo, that makes sense. He was like, is it a low ball offer or a conversation starter? And then he said an example.
Dog, that example, I was like, dog, no one's going to want to trade with you. Like, what?
Listen. All I'm going to say is this, and we'll put a pin on this, and we'll save it for next week. But I'm going to say this. Fantasy football with the right people is some of the funniest shit ever. Because it gets funny and funny fast. Yeah, especially with some of these offers. Now I'm going to let everyone know. The Portland Ducks has seen the trades that has gone on in this league. And he is saying he might be building through the draft for the foreseeable future. Because y'all not getting me the way some of these people have been gotten with some of these trades.
I will say Ronald Isley's tax return. We opened for business. I tried to make a fair trade offer to Bam. Bam wasn't interested. Cal tried to trade with me. I wasn't interested. But we're open for business. As long as we all remember that we're here for these jokes.
We are here for these jokes.
That's all we're here for, is these jokes. We're here to have fun.
Yeah. And Bam, every day I think about that trade offer. Christian Watson for a first round pick, straight up. And my man really said no to that one. I'm looking back on it. That's not a bet. That might not be that might not have been a bad trade.
Bam, that was a fair trade, but we're not getting out in getting. You have lost your opportunity to talk when you start talking about Thor grabbing your hammer. Ladies and gentlemen, good night. We will catch you next week.
We'll catch you next week, people. Listen, people, you could have been anywhere in the world. I think about it every day, too. Bam, I'm going to be honest with you. The price went up now, so I don't know if we can make that deal anymore.
Y'all have a blessed night, man.
Listen, you could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us tonight. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. Make sure y'all send us a question at speakonitpod14@gmail.com. And we'll be back right next week. Los D Mix, Danny Ocean, speak on it. Peace.
We out.